Service here on a wonderful sunny morning, and the topic for today is light. And I thought how appropriate that the sun is streaming in through the windows, and I've lit the candle as well to give us a focus. And I'm going to start by reading you a few verses from Psalm 36, just to focus our minds. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. So, we're in the middle of a series of the I Am sayings of Jesus. And today we're on I Am the Light of the World, which is mentioned a number of times, but I was looking at it particularly in John chapter 8. But just as a quick introduction, I think before Philip has talked, when he introduced the topic, or was it, I think it was Ron actually, about I Am, the name of God that gave himself, Yahweh, I Am, and I Am the Light. And we hear about the light all the way through the Bible. It's an image that is, I think, is really helpful, and it teaches us so much about the nature of God and of his Son. And we're going to try to unpack that a little bit this morning. And I'm going to have some Bible references, which hopefully will make it clear, and then think a little bit about the implication for us today. And before we actually start on the main sermon, I'm going to read a really beautiful passage, a passage that we hear very often in an Advent service just before Christmas, and that's John 1:1-9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. Amen. So let's read the verse from John chapter 8. And this is Jesus talking just after he is challenged by the Pharisees when the woman that is caught in adultery comes before him. And I think actually that was the last passage that I spoke on before you on a Thursday. So it's quite interesting. The next verse is the one we're looking at now. So it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So let's look back a little bit and go right back to the very beginning of the Bible, the very first chapter of Genesis, when we first get this idea of God being light. So I'll read you the first five verses of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You can imagine that darkness, there being absolutely nothing, no life. But yet God was there, his Spirit was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. So right at the beginning, we have the idea of God being light and life. And we know scientifically, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put my science teacher's hat on there and then. So I've got three little physics snippets throughout. So forgive me for that, but I think it just links in so well. But this isn't one. But the fact that light is absolutely essential for life. If we have no light, we cannot have life. If the sun was going to explode and just die, we wouldn't be able to survive here on Earth, because all plants need life in order to be able to live and produce our food and produce our energy. And it wouldn't be long before life on Earth would not be sustainable. So light and life are intertwined. We need the sunlight for warmth. We need it for energy. And even us as humans, you know, we need light, don't we? And if you know yourself, if you've been in for a long time, if you've been ill, or you've just, the weather has been appalling and you've had to stay in, we don't feel too good, do we? We need that light. We need that source of warmth and energy. And there are even people who suffer because they don't get enough light during the winter. It's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, because they don't get those vitamins and all the things that they need. And that's like us. You know, if we are without the light of life, if we're out without God's light, then we are not very healthy and we wither and we suffer as a result. So in those two passages I've read, at the beginning it was in Genesis, it's very much God is light. He is the provider of the life. And then in John, there's Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." And I thought, actually, sometimes we get kind of in a real tangle when we think about the nature of God and Jesus as well being his son, and then the Holy Spirit, this whole idea of the Trinity. And I was going to be really swish, but I couldn't cope. I couldn't compete with Katie and her bread making from last week. So I thought, no, just do it straight. I was going to put up some on the screen, some pictures of colour wheels and spectra and all sorts. But I thought, no, you know all that. But just the idea that in science, this is your first bit of physics, if you have white light, there are three what we call primary colours of light. Not of paint, that's different, but of light. And if you have blue light and green light and red light and they overlap, you get white light, pure white light. And okay, it does fall down, and I'm not saying that theologically this is necessarily the best explanation of the Trinity, but I find it quite helpful that the white light is the combination of all those three colours. And you could think about it being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the different natures and forms of God, but together they are that white light. They are the divine presence. They are God, God our Father, God our Son, and God our Holy Spirit. And it's all together we get the full nature of God. So all together those colours give us the pure white light. All together the three persons give us the full nature of God. Okay, so that's my end of physics one. But, you know, the most important thing from this here is that God came to shine light into the world's darkness. That first passage from Genesis, all was dark, it was formless. And then God said, let there be light. And the light came into the world and then life was formed. And we all know the story of creation and the way that life then was formed in stages, and eventually we have us, humankind. But you know, it might seem, oh, that's great, that's hunky-dory, and everything's going to be fine. But man had free will and we hid from that light. We wanted to stay in the darkness. Right from the beginning with Adam and Eve, they decided that they wanted more knowledge, and they actually, if you like, picked that apple. And they then hid from God in that garden. They hid from the light. And, you know, we've all the way through the Old Testament, we've got stories of the Israelites turning away from the light, turning away from God, and turning towards the shadows, turning towards the darkness, and worshipping other gods. So Jesus is sent into the world by God as the light of the world, to illuminate it once again, and to save the world again, to actually save it by his death and resurrection. And again, we think, well, that's great, that's it now, that should be perfect, and we'll all live in harmony and everything will be right. But if we look at the world around us, we see that maybe the world is as dark now as it ever has been. And we can see all sorts of things going on in the world where you think that is not of light, that is of the darkness, that is in the shadows. We follow our own desires rather than following the light, following Jesus. And you know yourself, light is very searching, isn't it? And we all love to have a lovely sunny day like this, but it doesn't half show up the dirt, doesn't it, in our homes? It shines through the windows and you think, oh gosh, I need to clean that window. And you see dust and spider's webs that you'd not seen before, because the light is there shining on everything around us. And, you know, in the shadows, I'm from Devon, and we've got a word there which isn't a word that we use everywhere, the word dimpsey. Anybody heard the word dimpsey? It's dimpsey. And a dimpsey is that half-light kind of dusk, if you like, but we call it dimpsey. It's a very skin white dimpsey. And in those shadows, in the dusk, you know, edges are blurred. We can sometimes not make out where shadow starts and light begins. And the colours get rather muted, don't they? And you don't see those lovely bright colours. And I'm told that if you have cataracts, that's a very similar thing. It gets blurred, you can't see as clearly. And then people tell me that when they have their cataracts removed, they suddenly think everything is bright again and you can see the colours really clearly. And it's very difficult to distinguish between what is light and what is dark. But if you go back to this passage in John 8, it's really comforting, I think, because it tells us that we don't have to stumble around in that half light. Because it says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And this, I think, is the important bit, the bit that we should be hanging on to. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're not alone, stumbling along in the shadows. We're not there, not being able to see what is right and what is wrong. We're not there stumbling along just hoping for the best. Jesus says, come and follow me and I will lead you into the light. And I was reminded of the Old Testament when the Israelites were wandering along in the wilderness. They were kind of, if you look at their journey, it's very tortuous, it's very twisted. They don't just go from A to B to reach the promised land. God has got a plan for them, and there is a reason why he takes them along the route that he does, but he doesn't allow them just to stumble along by their own. He leads them, and at night he leads them by a pillar of fire. So there's that light leading those Israelites in the wilderness in the Old Testament. And just thinking about us, it's all very well saying that Jesus is in the world and that he will show us, he will illuminate our paths, but we have to make that conscious decision to follow that light, to let him lead us in the light, into his ways. We have to decide not to lurk in the shadows, because the shadows can be quite comforting, can't they, sometimes? Because we're not seen and we can just be unnoticed, we think. But that's not what God wants for us. I'm going to read you another few verses from 1 John, the letter then that John wrote. And 1 John verses 5-7. And this he wrote to the early church. And our community group has been studying this, the letters of John, and they're quite tricky. They're quite hard theologically, aren't they, Joy? But this, I think, is helpful. 1 John 1, verses 5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So, deciding to turn to God and ask for forgiveness through Jesus and walking in the light is our first calling. That's what makes us, what determines whether or not we are a Christian. And here comes another bit of physics, because just as Jesus is, sorry, as we are Jesus followers, we will reflect that light and in turn become lights of the world. And the physics is this: when you look at something, you're seeing it because of the light that is reflected. So, without getting too technical, if you see something that is red, you're seeing it because all this wonderful light, white light from the sun, is coming in, and part of that light is absorbed by the material, by the dye that is in there, and only the red part of the spectrum is reflected. So we see it as red. If we see something that is blue, then it means that the white light is coming in And some of those parts of the white light are being absorbed, but the blue is being reflected, so we see it as blue. If we see it as black, none of that light is reflected. It's all absorbed. If we see something as white, then all the white light is reflected. None is absorbed by the object. And it gets more complicated because we don't just see red, green and blue. We see lots of different shades. And that's because we see combinations of those three primary colours. I'm not going to give you any more physics. You're going to have to research that. So we see physically because of light reflected from the sun, S-U-N. And this is a bit corny, really, but I thought it was quite nice. It helped me. And it's like us. Others see us because of light reflected from the sun, S-O-N, from Jesus. And that's how people see us. And they see God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through us by what we reflect. And that's a big responsibility, isn't it? Because who we are and what we do and what we say, how we live our lives, should reflect that light of God. And actually, in the Gospels, in Matthew, we're told that we must let our light shine before men. We mustn't hide it away. We mustn't put a basket over the top. We've got to let it shine out. And the reason is that so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We don't do things because we want ourselves to look good. We do it because we want it to reflect God's glory. And my third bit of physics. As you all know, if you have a prism and you shine pure white light through, you don't just get those three primary colours. You get the whole spectrum. Richard of York gave battle in vain. Okay? All the colours, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, and all the shades in between. And, you know, we can take that analogy on, can't we? Because that's like us. We are all different. We are all different colours and shades. We all have different gifts. We all have different personalities. We all have different ministries. We're not all clones. None of us is going to be that pure white light because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they are the pure white light. But we will all have a path that we can walk. But we do need that pure white light shining through us. We'd be nothing unless we had that pure white light shining through us. And it also emphasises that together, as a community, as a church, hopefully we have all those different colours of the spectrum within us, not within each individual, but we are all different and we all have different things and different gifts. And together we do reflect God's glory and hopefully we'll be able to lead people out of darkness and into the light, because we all know people who are struggling. If not in the darkness, they're struggling in those shadows, into the dark shadows, or perhaps they're right on the edge when they're almost into the light. And we know that we have got a responsibility to help lead them into the light by praying for them, by walking alongside them, by reflecting God's life, God's light in our life.